County Supervisors reconvene, and we are on item 9A, Siskiyou Community Resource Development.
Good morning.
Okay, would you like the PowerPoint that I present or sent to you?
Yes.
I'm not even going to load one up. I'm not even going to really refer to it. I'm just going to tell you a little bit about what's been going on since I've last seen you. I'm happy to see you in person. Last year, I know we were here by Zoom, and that was the only way we could be here, so I'm very happy to be here in person. And I have a new grandbaby, and that's him with my son in the middle, so that's probably the biggest thing that's happened in my life. I know you don't want to hear about my life, but that's okay. But I know 2 years ago when we were here and you gave us money, you said challenge the cities to help you as a collaborative, and we did that. And City of Dunsmuir has been very gracious and generous, and they're probably, along with the City of Weed, our most easy to get along with city. And we're working on relationships with the others. As you know, that can sometimes take time and energy, which during 2020 we haven't had a lot of. But I did want to report to you that the City of Dunsmuir has given us $10,000 2 years in a row, and they're set to give us $10,000 for the next fiscal year as well. So we're very happy with that, because we've also been charged with the community garden and a food pantry and a second building in Dunsmuir. So we've got a lot of things going there, and we're very thankful for that support.
If I could just interject real quick, I think one of the benefits of that, because I'm a big supporter of them down there, is the fact that it's all contained. City Hall's right there, they can see the garden, they can see the Family Resource Center, and the lives where they do food distributions, that kind of thing.
So they
see the importance of it.
Yes, I agree. And the City of Weed, we're working to get back our senior lunch program, so we're excited. They've actually begun having vaccinated senior lunch programs on Mondays at the community center, so we're very excited. If they're not vaccinated as of yet, they're doing the drive-through so they can pick up a meal, and we're working on, you know, when that might open up more for our seniors, but we're very excited because they've been isolated for a long time and they are just crazy to get out. So we're really excited about that. Since I've last seen you, we added Scott Valley to the collaborative, which I was very, very excited about them coming forward and asking to be part of the collaborative. And of course, we've been open during all of 2020. We didn't even close a day. So I think staff has been amazing. We really considered the things that we were providing as to be essential. We did get all the PPE, and we've had extreme support from First Five California, and been able to order a lot of supplies. Was really neat because some of the foundations actually reached out to us instead of us having to reach out to the foundations, both the Ford Family Foundation and, they've changed their name, Northern Shasta Regional Community Foundation is how my brain only knows them, but I know they've changed their name to the Northern to something related to Northern California, but I will learn it eventually, but it's just not on my radar right now. So, and they reached out to us, what can we do? And we said food, and we went straight to Grocery Outlet, which was really great. We supported our two stores here in Wairika and in Weed for the South County regions, and we put together bags, and we, you know, killed ourselves, and then we realized we are not doing that again. We will be handing them a Grocery Outlet gift card, and they can go shop, but it was a huge undertaking, and it was about 830 bags of food right away, like in April, because that's what we were being asked for the most. We picked up instead of every other month of our commodities, we did every month of commodities. And so we gave out a bonus to all of our staff with some of the money that the Ford Family Foundation came forward with, because they stuck it out. They kept coming every day. They really stepped up and went beyond for we were the only place where a lot of people could go to get the EDD, the unemployment, the stimulus, see about their stimulus payments, and then food, and find out where there was just that. We had a huge increase in CalFresh applications because, of course, that's our safety net, right? So helping people navigate those branches that have never done that before was probably our biggest, ask at the time. So our goals for the future, we have a new website that we're building with Pusher, who does the Siskiyou County visitation website, and we're very excited about that. And we're really working with almost every department. I met with Angela and I met with Nancy to let you know that we are actually working with every county department in some way, shape, or form to promote, like you said, vaccination clinics. And when, was asking about the homeless, yep, we're promoting the homeless, but mobile clinic, that's coming up in May. Those kinds of things were huge outreach and information. We had a United Way grant this last year, which was interesting because, of course, we wrote it in the thought of being open and doing all of the normal things, and then we were not open, so we had to revamp and go Zoom and get the information out about emergency preparedness and how to be ready and get that go bag ready. And even I realized I don't have a go bag ready. I'm not ready to hit the road if I get a notification by Code Red to get out of my home. So it was really good information to get out there to our communities, because we know that almost all, not this year, but of our communities have had that in the past and may have it in the future. So I do know that, in Happy Camp, the Slater Fire victims, I just wanted to give you a heads up about, working with Abby, having some, having a lot of information, we work really closely together, so that we just placed someone in a park with their camper about 2.5 months ago that was displaced from the fire, found them a place to put the camper because, everybody's still scrambling for housing, and housing is probably our number one issue. But the good news is we've been with the Siskiyou Homeless Coalition since its inception, and we were able to receive $43,000 from the Continuum of Care, which hasn't always been really fruitful for our community, but I felt very good about applying for that money. As a matter of fact, I applied for $43,862.33 because that's what was available to Siskiyou County, and we received it. So sometimes just knowing, being on the coalition and knowing how much you can go and ask for is a big plus. And then we were able to turn around and apply for, actually they offered us a second grant. The first grant was called a HEAP grant, and the second grant was an emergency solutions grant. But at the time we decided, no, we're going to learn the HEAP grant in this whole new world of acronyms and HMIS, the Homeless Management Information System. And we learned it very well. We did very well. We actually were awarded another $11,000 in interest from that grant that sits in an interest-bearing account at the Shasta County level. And then the Emergency Solutions Grant came out, which was a perfect dovetail to the grant that we're working right now, and we'll be learning and moving into a new homeless grant. And we're working with the City of Wairika. They actually reached out to us, which is pretty phenomenal, again, to say, what do you have that might be, plug-and-play ready for CDBG grants or CSBG grants. So we're excited that, we're a collaborative, but it really feels like a collaborative, especially during 2020 when we were able to, we didn't really sign up to go deliver what we affectionately call 211 boxes, but it happened and we did it because it was the right thing for the community. So we are truly, I feel like, working as a collaborative even during the pandemic. So with many, many different partners in the community. So we would really appreciate your support again this year. And like I said, I'm very happy to report that I believe Scott Valley's next on our list to go to the city because they would actually like us to take over the Salvation Army. And those are the things that I never really want to do, but if it goes away, it would be more of a crime for the community. So we could go for some funding support from the city and keep that ball rolling in the valley. So do you have any questions for me? Because I could go on and on and on. This is my passion, but you want me out of here, so.
Not a question, just a comment. I mean, I look at the collaborative that the Family Resource Centers countywide is a very proactive entity for the county itself. Best bang for the buck that we can get. What do we normally give? It is what, 2,000 per center 4, in the 000. Past 20 yeah. grand?
4,000 last year.
4,000 last year. We can't even hire one person for that. So, and yet we're countywide with that support. So, you know, I applaud the work that you do. You're a stopgap for what we can't do. Just don't have those resources, and you do between your volunteers and your paid staff. So I just appreciate all that you do, and for each of the centers that are out there. So thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chris.
No, thank you. As well, you're the collaborative is what I like about it, the efficiencies there, coming about with paying for the buck on those things. I'm glad to see some of the cities contributing as well. Just if we are going to allocate funding. Four resource centers. I know Healthy Happy Camp, who is a part of the collaborative, but provides good down there. And Happy Camp, McLeod, has its own family resource center. It doesn't have an overhead cost, but it's all volunteer based. And then the Two Lake Resource Center is part of Teach, part of another collaborative for their efficiencies. And they help out with things in the Bee Valley community as well. So if we make it community centers, what we've done in the past, I can't give you a dollar figure right now, but whatever we feels appropriate amount of money that can be based on communities and in partnership with the collaborative.
Appreciate that, thank you.
The collaborative is what, five or six?
We're
is what,
six.
You're six,
yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And we do a lot of work in McLeod because of Mount Shasta. You know, our proximity is Mount Shasta. So, especially with our 0 to 5, we go over to the preschools, we deliver our books, we do a lot of outreach. If they want classes, well, you know, we've had ACEs classes there in the board in the past, adverse childhood experiences classes. I was speaking acronyms, I'm sorry. So we do a lot of work with the McLeod. Doris is a little more difficult for us because it's just so far out, but I did get to meet the new city manager there. I was at the Lola meeting, and so that was exciting. She goes, why don't I have one of these? I said, I don't know. She goes, let's talk. I said, absolutely. So.
No, I do appreciate that. Even though it's not part of the official collaborative,
right.
I do know you've done a lot of work helping McLeod get themselves started up again. And I've seen you at the meetings when the resource center shut down in Bee Valley. We had meetings there for a while to keep services going, and you came over there even though you weren't officially compensated for it. So you do think of the whole county.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for pulling Scott Valley together.
Yeah, I'm excited. They have a really nice NISCA grant for feeding folks on Fridays, and they're building systems right now. I think, you know, 2020 was a, you know, shocker, and staff was difficult there, but we're working on it. And Jen Cox is our program manager there, and she is a military. Her family went away to the military and came back, and so couldn't be more perfect for fit for the Valley to have Jen there as our program manager. So.
Well, there's definitely a void there, and over the years, some things have kind of gone by the wayside. Valley Oaks Seniors Center used to be very, very active, but I didn't see anything out of them, not even a squeak out of them anymore. I know, you know, we will, it's part of our budget. It'll be part of our budget again, and we'll support the centers.
Thank you.
Thank you. Unless there's further.
I just want to say you have an outstanding staff, and you guys have an amazing way of thinking outside the box. And
What box?
And it's amazing how you can pull the entire county together, and your outreach is amazing, and we appreciate it.
Thanks.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. Okay. 9B. Ms. Reed, I think that's yours. 10B, excuse me.
10B.
I tell you. I put glasses on or something.
Good morning, Natalie Reed, Assistant County Counsel.
So staff is here today to bring forward to the board a proposed resolution of intent to grant PacifiCorp a utility franchise for the privilege of continuing to encroach on county public rights of way for its transmission and distribution infrastructure. In February, staff brought forward an application from PacifiCorp to renew its electric utility franchise along with a proposed franchise ordinance, the terms of which we previously walked through, and a resolution of intent to grant the franchise. At that time, the board gave staff direction to work with PacifiCorp to clarify language in section 8.7 of the proposed ordinance, which was related to the county's ability to share with PacifiCorp in its trenching to lay down the county's own conduit. PacifiCorp was also asked to submit a corrected application addressing certain typos. Staff is returning today with that corrected application, which has been provided to the clerk. We received it over the weekend, and it will be posted online. And also with the amended language in section 8.7. As discussed at the meeting in February, if the board adopts the resolution of intent to grant PacifiCorp the franchise, a public hearing will be set on the matter. And the purpose of the public hearing is to hear objections against the granting of the franchise. And written protests against granting of the franchise may be taken up until the date and time set for the hearing and should be signed and delivered to the clerk of the board. And after completion of the protest hearing, the ordinance would be adopted in the same manner as any other ordinance with a first and second reading. And staff is here if you have any questions.
Further questions? Seeing none.
Motion to approve.
Motion.
Can you public comment?
I should do that, I guess. I'm going to go back and remind the public, thank you, Ed, that if you have a comment on any agenda item, you may raise your hand by pressing star 9 on your cell phone so that you may be recognized.
Seeing none.
Thank you.
Motion to approve.
I have a motion.
Second.
And a second.
I just have a quick question, Natalie. Did we have a specific time for the public hearing, or was that what we've been doing lately, 9 a.m. or soon thereafter?
As 9 a.m. or soon thereafter.
Perfect. Thank you. Okay. In the packet, in the resolution, I believe it's June 15, correct? It's on the last page of the resolution. So.
That's what it
part
says.
Of the motion.
Yeah. Yes, it's all part of the resolution. Okay, Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopseth?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yes.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Haupt?
Aye.
Thank you.
Next item, County Administration. Item 10C.
Good morning, Melissa Cummins, Personal Risk Manager. The item we have before you this morning is requesting a first reading for a ordinance to amend Chapter 3 of Title 7, Section 7-3.03 of the Siskiyou County Code regarding the qualifications of the Director of Public Works. This modification will allow flexibility for future recruitments and finding a candidate that will meet the needs of the department. We are happy to answer any questions if you have them.
Or public comment, if there's any.
Seeing none.
If no comment, I'll make the motion.
Thank you, Supervisor Chris. For a second. A second.
And I have a second reading in order to get this published would be June 15th, and we can do that at 9 a.m. or soon thereafter. And just a reminder, we also have budget hearings set up for that date as well. So
we have a pretty full load that day. Just urgent.
It's just a second reading.
It's the second reading.
So
yeah, it's usually
for
the
will.
So June 15?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Is it 9 a.m.?
9 a.m. or as soon thereafter as may be heard. That'll be the language in the hearing notice.
Okay.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopseth?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Okay.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Hupp?
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. In the recess of Siskiyou County Supervisors convene the Flood and Water Conservation District. It's time for public comment on flood control and water conservation district items. Is there any public comment? Press star 9 on your cell phone if you wish to be recognized.
Nick Jocelyn.
Good morning.
Are we going to be able to give public comment on the agenda item here with the Siskiyou County campground lease?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I will save my comment for that.
Okay. We'll come back to you. All right, we'll move on to item 11B. Mr. Presenter, okay. Good morning.
Hi, this is Nick Jocelyn.
Hold on just a moment. I accidentally hit to unmute him. But I think Jason is
going to
speak first.
Yes.
Yeah, so I was just
Jason Ledbetter, Director of General Services. So I'm here to have a discussion and possible direction concerning the negotiation or possible negotiation of the Lake Siskiyou Campground contract with the Flood Control and Water Conservation District and Mr. Reynolds for Reynolds Resorts. On March 3rd, General Services received a letter from Reynolds Resorts with a proposal for improvements at the Lake Siskiyou Campground and a request to negotiate the term of the current contract. And then on May 5th, we received another letter from Reynolds Resorts signed by Michelle and Tom Reynolds. And so today I'm looking for a motion to allow myself, the Director of General Services, to be the negotiator if it is determined that we can renegotiate this contract. I also have Tom Reynolds here today. He did bring a packet that was not submitted with this current packet. And so I'm not sure if we're able to show any of those improvements that he would like to work on.
Actually, improvements that are underway.
Okay, current improvements that he has going on right now.
Council, do we accept those public comment, or how do we do
it? Is there a way of loading that up on the Zoom?
I was just given the paperwork today when I showed up, so I could possibly send it to the board on a memo.
Can you do that right now? I mean, the question is, can we load it on the...
I think the public's going to want to see that. These are just photos of the property. And then there's a cover sheet explaining each of the improvements that we're making. So this can be read into the record quite simply. So
Ed, I don't have an e-file of this, it's just a paper copy, so I'm not sure if it can be loaded.
Yeah, I mean, we're supposed to provide everything simultaneous to the public. That's the reason we need separate emails. So if there's a way to upload it onto Zoom, we can do it. Otherwise, you would speak to
it. Copy.
Yeah, at this point, yeah. I think we would just omit this at this time.
This is really critical that the board see this. I mean, the improvements that we made are quite significant.
That's what I said. What's different?
Can
we do a public comment and then just present that that way?
And then hand it as a document.
You do it for anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
This is.
And it doesn't have to be uploaded.
Well, we can just, or we can make it available.
Yeah.
We'll make it available as soon as possible. Yeah. In the future, though, it'd be good to get stuff ahead of time if we're going to be presenting.
That's not the normal course of the board. We receive comments just like we did today.
Yeah.
That happens all the time. People bring in stuff and present to the board.
I think the marijuana issue, they always come in bringing pictures.
Yes.
Well, I think that
we'll make this available to the public as soon as possible through the clerk.
Yeah, we can do that. I accept public comment regularly.
Mm-hmm. And here's the public comment, and then these are the documents.
Anything germane to the discussion today?
It'll be in the clerk's file as well.
Right.
And Wendy, I did keep a copy for the public on the table.
You did keep one already?
I did.
Okay,
yes.
Thank you. So I wound up with two. Okay.
So can I go to? Are you finished with your presentation?
Yeah, I just wanted to state that this motion that staff is bringing forward or recommending does not mean that we would have a new contract. It would just mean that you were giving me the authority to negotiate the possibility of a new contract, which then would be brought back forth in front of this board to be determined on whether or not you approved that contract.
Okay. And I want to go to the caller online here and get that public comment as well.
Through the board?
Yes.
Just a clarification. I was under the impression we had made this closed, but I understand now, looking at the agenda, we had opened it up to the public, and so that does change things slightly. So we have this available for the public, any members who are present.
Okay. Thank you. The caller online, we're going to recognize you for 3 minutes.
Nick Joslin, Mount Shasta, California.
Good morning.
I'm sorry, I missed his name.
Nick Joslin, thank you.
In regards to the lease and the county renegotiating the contract, I think it's clearly time the county consider operating the campground on their own. I think it presents a real opportunity for the county to recognize the asset that the recreational value Lakes Bisbee presents, and there is really no recreational support directly by the county. And with respect to the current concessionaire, if the information I'm finding is correct, the Lakes Bisbee Trail Project has tried for 30 years to complete their trail around the lake and have been held up by the current concessionaire, who doesn't want to let the trail go through the campground. And it's issues like this, I think, that have been brought to my attention that make me believe that current concessionaire might not be the best option out there. I read some supporting documents that were available for the public to see prior to the meeting, and they seem to be scrambling in an attempt maybe to cover some past at negotiating tactics. And I think it's time for the county to investigate all other options that are available to them. Thanks for your time.
All right, thank you. We'll come back to the discussion of the board. Who's first?
Well, I think we should hear from Mr. Reynolds if he wants to present something.
Well,
Do you want to present this?
Yeah, I'd like to present
that. Okay, I'm confused.
No, he filled out a public comment. More coffee. I don't need any more coffee. You just handed it in. I thought that was it. I'm sorry. Come forward and we'll hear your presentation.
Thank you. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to come visit with you today and to the new supervisor that I've not met. Welcome. I'd like to just quickly comment that we have no objection to the trail running through the property, have never had any objection. We've asked for a clarification, at least, of where the trail is supposed to go, and there are liability issues. If we were to go there again, you'll see that there's been quite a bit of vandalism with the signage that we're directing people, so we have no objection to the trail and have been cooperative for the past 15 years with trail improvements, so that needs to be stated. I wanted to give you just a rundown of what's happened in the last 2 years. Remarkably, COVID was a very positive thing for the camping industry, as people were so cooped up that just to even get outdoors and pitch a tent or jump in the lake, that was a real joy. So we had remarkably, our best season of the 17 years we've operated the resort. We had more visitors last year, and I think a real positive result with the satisfaction of the customers that did visit the property. This also translated into significant increases in revenue to the county. Just to give you an example, back in 2019, we had royalties, and I don't know if I should be saying these things on that one, the public comment, but royalties of $161,000, and last year it was $218,000. So there was a significant increase. Back to 2011, it was only $73,000. So it's been our goal all along to continually improve the property, which benefits the public, and then also benefits, you know, the concessionaire and the county as well. So to that end, we've basically taken all the profit and thrown it back into the property this coming year. We've ordered 105 feet of new docks for the facility. Well, let me start with number one. Number one was, as you may be aware, there's a water filtration upgrade ongoing at the property, and Mr. Valenzuela has visited that. There's a photo of where we are with that project. The county collaborated with us on that. They purchased the equipment, and we're installing the equipment. Item number two was the dock expansion, and the photo of that on the top picture where the rental boats are, that dock will be extended out 60 feet, and the lower dock, which is the residential dock, people have that have their boats here in the county where they can rent a slip for the summer, that'll be extended out 45 feet. So we're basically increasing the size of the marina by about 30%, and Reynolds Resorts is picking up 100% of the cost of that. Can it be extended to 5 minutes? Okay, number three, we're increasing the splash zone. This is, you know, the, I guess you'd call it an aqua park playground. And we've purchased $24,000 worth of additional floating attractions for 2021. They're actually blown up and they're going to be put in water today. We bought $77,000 worth of new kayaks and pontoons. We've got top of the line kayaks now that, you know, you don't even have to have a paddle with some of them where they have foot pedals. We've got kayaks for all weight classes so that, you know, anyone large to small can enjoy a kayak in the lake. We've put $54,000 into cabin furnishings, upgrades in you know, the draperies, the, you know, bedding and so forth. I bought $30,000 worth of additional vehicles this year for my housekeeping staff to look more professional. We've added housekeeping staff. Just to give you an idea, running a campground of this size is not an easy proposition. Our payroll last year was $823,000. So that doesn't include anything for me. I don't take a paycheck from the property. So there's, you know, literally 70 to 80 people that are on property. And of course, the payroll has increased more than double since we bought the resort, because now, you know, we have $14, $15 minimum wage, which we're happy to pay. We bought more restaurant equipment this year, and we're going to improve our patio dining down by the lake. We're going to have kind of like a beach shack environment down there. I think it will be very popular with palapas and so forth. We have requested some county assistance with getting some striping on the roadways, because, you know, it's so faint now that, you know, we're just concerned that people aren't going to be able to see where they're going to go as it gets darker in the evening. And we'd like to see if there's some way to do a boat ramp extension, because of the drought years that we're experiencing. It would be good to extend the boat ramp. So we're putting in $360,000 this year. As I've mentioned to Jason, we're willing to invest several multiples of that in what we would consider, and what I think the industry considers, necessary infrastructure improvements. This campground is 50 years old, so the electric system is insufficient to keep pace with the, you know, the volume of electricity needed for today's motorhomes, and even pop-up tent campers have appliances in them now. And There's no television service. There's virtually no broadband service. You know, there's just a lot of things that have to be improved. And these are long-term projects. So with a few years left on the lease, there's really, we think, two different opportunities. One, we'll just operate it until the end of the lease and you guys can take over, but you're going to have to rebuild that campground. Or we rebuild it together over the next few years, and if you want us to continue managing the asset for the benefit of the public and the county, fine. If you don't, then we'll sell. We'll exit stage left. So anyway, that's all I wanted to let you know. Things are very positive. We think this year will even be better than last. But, you know, with the economy opening up, perhaps people will be traveling more. We won't have quite the season, but it still should be quite good. Any questions or? Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Ward. Sure. I had a question about I guess I don't know. I don't know how to direct it. So, yeah, I guess I can ask Jason. So, I'll direct it through you, I guess. With regard to this, I mean, to me, this lease is on what, the 9th or 10th amendment to the lease? So, I mean, from my perspective, at least, if there was a new lease, it would be overall a new lease altogether. I'm not interested in amending it. I would be interested more in a whole new lease. I think that opens the door, council, that it would have to go out for RFP at that time. Is that correct?
Yeah, there's a distinction between just amending a lease and just having an entirely new lease. And arguably, if you do an entirely new lease, you have RFP requirements.
And so I don't know if Mr. Reynolds is aware of that aspect or not, or is he, do you know?
I am not sure if Mr. Reynolds is aware of that aspect.
Does that mean that somebody else can come in and offer? Well, then I still have 8 years left on my lease. So
understood.
They have to buy it. Yeah, fine.
Yeah, I get that. But I'm just saying, I don't think the county has an alternative. You just can't grant an extra, whatever, 10 years or a new lease. But if we do go to a completely new lease, it's an RFP process. That's just the way it operates, correct?
Correct.
In the letter from Mr. Reynolds, it states that, and this is the one I'm looking at, dated March 3rd of this year, that the county reduced their lease by 10 years. I don't know that that's correct. I think there was an agreement for X on his part. Then there was an extension of 10 years, but because of the past improvements, I think on the loan, they had not been met, and that's why the 10-year lease did not take effect. Am I correct?
That's my understanding from reading the agreement, was that it was built into the current contract, and so from 2038 it reverted to 2028.
Because certain conditions were not met.
That's correct, that correct? Yeah.
And then lastly, I think a while back, and I'm not sure, I don't think it was last year, it might have been the year before, Mr. Reynolds had requested the gate fee go to $2, and I've received comments from the public. Even I myself, when I have gone in and paid the $2, I didn't ask any questions. I just paid the $2 per person, but staff at the kiosk or whatever, the gate when you come in, let me know that this was a Board of Supervisors decision. It had nothing to do with Reynolds Resort, and that the county gets all of that $2. Is that a factual statement, or is that, what is that? Because that caught me off guard.
That statement, I think that the fees were sent through, the board had to approve the fee changes last year, but as far as the back end of that statement, that sounds completely false to me as far as us getting every last cent of that $2.
Right. But it was at Mr. Reynolds' request. And I was just surprised hearing that from staff.
coming into that gate, because quite frankly, the gate fee is the gate fee. It didn't have anything to do other than our approval, but to make that statement was kind of a little stretch for me. And that's a concern for me, because I would hope that Reynolds Resort would communicate to their staff in a way that would be in a positive manner to the relationship with the county versus, kind of throwing it to us that this was our decision. Yes, it was, but it was at the request of Reynolds Resort. So I understand, I appreciate the improvements that are being made. It improves not only, the resort overall, but I'm sure it improves the ability for visitors that come there and use that facility. Obviously, the trail is still a concern from our visit and even last year. I don't know how much progress we've made either in one way or another, but to me that needs to be resolved in anything that would go future as well, permanently, not subjectively. So I would be interested in at least entertaining, complete new lease agreement if it met the criteria that fits the county.
Okay.
Sure. I do want to respond just quickly to the public comment about the community. You know, this county has invested a lot at the campground, not only the campground, I use that aside, but the property, the flood control district. So think about our double restrooms, think about the trail extension, working with the trail association. So we have done some things. I want to also acknowledge the fact that we did some fire prevention out there, the public works, if you recall, did some masking from WA Bar all the way out past the campground. We did some fire hydrant testing. I think when we did our little field visit, not specifically to the campground, but to the whole property, Jason took me by the water filtration deal. And one of the positive outcomes out of that was that there's going to be a direct connection for fire suppression instead of having to go through the filter. So there's a volume discrepancy there, which could get bogged down if they tried to hook up fire suppression stuff. So, I think I want to look on the positive side to this. I think all of us know that we were overrun last year with visitors, so I'm glad to hear that the campground was occupied and those kind of things. So there is a lot to be said on that front. Having said that, I am not interested in renegotiating at this moment in time. I am willing to let this thing expire. I think that's better for all concerned, so we can start fresh and anew, because I think one of the problems that I've encountered is dealing with all the addendums. As an example, X was supposed to be done, 10% was supposed to be paid. I don't think we ever saw that. And then we get into this whole convoluted thing. We talk about the trail. I hear one side, and I'm hearing the other side. I have had more complaints as a supervisor. My biggest sense of frustration is dealing with the operation of that campground, unfortunately. And that's just, I don't look at it on one side. I look at it, what am I doing? And so think about getting the fire mastication, all those kind of things. What can I do to make a positive impact? I've heard from my constituents that they want to see the opportunity for some other entity. I have not had any discussions with any other entity other than what-if scenarios. It's not for me to pick and choose. It's for the request for proposal process to play out, because that's what would have to happen. And I'll leave it at that. So I'm not in favor of moving on.
Yeah, I'm fine with letting the contract come to its terms, and then through the RFP process, getting the applications and the people applying for it, and the proposals and all those sorts of things, working through that.
Okay.
Well. I like that process as well.
All right. Thank you, Spivers.
Now, I just ask one quick question. If the county is unhappy with us as a concessionaire, why not do a new lease so that you can get a new concessionaire? You're forcing me to be a servant to the county for 8 years with no possibility of improving the property. But so if you want to replace me, let's get a new lease, get people to come in and make offers on that lease, and let me exit stage left.
I don't have an answer for that today. I'm not going to answer that today. Council, I guess, where are we going with this?
I would suggest giving direction to Jason through a motion, either to negotiate a lease addendum with the Reynolds, or to explore doing an RFP in which the Reynolds can participate in that process. I guess what I'm suggesting is some specific direction be given to Jason, because I'm hearing slightly different versions of what people, what the supervisors are recommending, and so I think it would be good to make it formal.
And Ed, can I just make a statement on that? So would the motion have to be to negotiate the termination of the current lease?
It's up to the discretion of the motion maker. Natalie, I don't know if you have
any. It may be that the board wants to take no action.
And that's what would be my recommended motion, is to take no action. I'm comfortable moving forward with continuing to let the lease move forward, because I think my Ms. Reynolds doing well. The last year was good. This year should be good. I don't want to throw any monkey wrench into that. And the opportunity will be to come up with a starting fresh when the lease expires. And I would expect the Reynolds to apply.
In a way to implement taking no action is just to take no action.
And that would be my motion, to take no action.
Or I would suggest, if you want to take no action, just don't make a motion at all.
No motion.
That's where I was headed, because I'm not prepared without staff work to do anything else today. Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next item C, Flood Control District Sustainable Groundwater Management Act. Mr. Parker.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I have, as you saw in your packets, a pretty high-level sort of recap summary. Oh, and I guess I have a presentation, sorry. Just like short, slick, six slides or five slides, high-level view of where we're at in terms of the process of developing groundwater plans. And as we'll get the PowerPoint ready, I want to recognize that on the phone, I believe we have Katie Duncan.
I didn't receive that one.
Who is loaded?
I had it pulled up.
The only two I had was the Siskiyou Resources and the first Natural Resources one with Larry Walker and Associates.
Okay, so you should probably go grab them from the agenda.
Thank you. So on the phone I have, as part of our Big Sigma team, we have Katie Duncan from Stantec, who is our facilitator. And then Dr. Laura Foglia from Larry Walker, who you heard earlier this morning. She's on the phone as well. I don't believe Dr. Harder is able to make this call. And then I believe I saw Pat Valines from DWR is not on the call. She was unable to make it. So we have Katie and Laura to answer any technical questions should we come to that. But as I said, this is more of a sort of a high-level process overview where we're at in the process. So you can go to the next slide if you want. Sorry, I know you're multitasking. There you go. So you've seen a different version of this slide. It's basically sort of where we're at in the process and where we're getting to. Again, the deadline is January 31st, 2022. We're not planning to submit the very last day. We're still targeting November as our day to hit the send button with the whole plan. Starting on the left, as you see, we've had a board update today. I anticipate, or I plan on coming back your next meeting, I think June 1st, with another update. Plan on trying to get into a little more nuts and bolts of the plans, etc. In July, we'll likely have another board update, and then either first part of August, likely ask you as a board to approve the plan as a sort of final draft and submit that through the entire required public process, public review process, which requires a public meeting, consultation with any city or agency that wishes to consult with us, etc. Right now, in terms of the advisory committees, we have meetings next week. We've sent out drafts of chapter 3 and 4 of the plans to the public. They are currently being reviewed by the public and advisory committee members. We're receiving comments as we speak, have received various levels of comments, but it's been productive comments. So next slide. Again, groundwater sustainability plan, otherwise known as a GSP. Remember, there's lots of acronyms. So there's six chapters. The introduction is really just basic material. It's being worked on right now. It's in draft form, but it's just who the GSA is, etc. The plan area, basin setting, basically sets the table for what is occurring right now in the basins, whether it's ongoing water management activities. It brings up the hydrology aspects, the geology aspects. All of what we know right now is all thrown into chapter 2. It's in draft form. It's available for the public to review. There's a couple of placeholders we're still working on, but next week the key piece in chapter 2 is the water budgets and the future water budgets. So we, as required by SGMA, are supposed to use the models to run future climate change factored water budgets. Basically, what could groundwater and the watersheds look like 10, 15, 20 years down the road? So that will be included in Chapter 2, and we'll be showing the committees next week. Chapter 3 is a sustainable management criteria, or SMC. That's the metrics that we use to evaluate the plan. Again, there are six metrics. We have groundwater levels, groundwater storage, water quality, and depletion of interconnected surface water. And then there's also subsidence, which we're basically checking that box in terms of the work in our valleys. We don't have, it's not a concern, but we have to do a couple of really simple language additions for that, and then seawater intrusion we do not have to account for. Chapter 4 is the project management actions, as it said. That's basically what we anticipate doing in the near future as well as the long-term future regarding how we implement these plans, how we expect these various activities will improve the groundwater sustainability. Anything from building a reservoir to the other end of the spectrum of cutting pumping, that's all. Anything along those lines is all included in Chapter 4. As I mentioned earlier, that is out for review right now for the public. Chapter 5 is implementation. That describes how staff will manage the plan over on a year-to-year basis. It will include some of the costs, the yearly costs that we have, some of the monitoring application, stuff like that. That's in draft form being reviewed by myself right now. We expect to have that for the committees probably next month. And then Chapter 6 is basically everything that is built into the plans is thrown in Chapter 6. That's how these plans will get into the thousands of pages is Chapter 6. So next slide. A couple, as you probably read in your packet, some of the key topics in the basin, we thought it would be good to just mention what's going on. Butte, the data shows that there are some slight groundwater levels. It's concerning, but not at a level where the technical team considers it an overdraft. They're basically saying that operating as is right now is fine for the basin, provided that weather doesn't get drastically worse for the next 10, 20 years. So they feel comfortable that there's not not any need for any drastic turnoffs or any massive changes in New Valley. It's more about efficiency. Scott, the complexity with the interconnected zone and as well as the adjudicated zone, factoring sigma around that adjudicated zone has proven to be very complex. In Shasta, it's the same interconnected surface water piece, but also as a more recent trend is the groundwater level concern in certain aspects of the valley. We've heard a lot of interest in fixing that, but it's those are the main key topics we've been concerned about. Next slide. Stakeholder engagement, a critical piece that DWR uses to evaluate the plans. We've done it various amount of ways, including our monthly groundwater advisory committee meetings where the public has been actively involved. We've given them plenty of opportunity to provide feedback on the various activities and discussions of the meetings. We have monthly coordination calls with Fish and Wildlife staff. Sigma's discussed in those. We've been having monthly coordination calls with State Water Board staff regarding their modeling efforts in the Shasta under their California Water Action Plan requirements. So a lot of that is more model and technical focused. We've had regional board monthly calls with their staff to discuss some of the water quality aspects of things they're doing that are Sigma and non-Sigma related. Tribal engagement, we've engaged heavily with the Karuk tribe, a little bit with Quartz Valley, and had a little bit of coordination with the Yurok tribe, as well as the Shasta Nation. And then last, but certainly not least, and probably the most critical, or one of the most criticals, is a stakeholder. I put stakeholder individual calls, but that can mean anywhere from a one-on-one with just myself and a stakeholder. We've had calls where we've included the technical folks and the facilitator, and it's been anywhere from just a concerned resident to an NGO or a group of folks. We've accommodated numerous calls and email exchanges with all sorts of stakeholders in all three valleys. So I feel we've done a pretty good job of reaching out and receiving input from folks and following up with those that have more specific conversations with them. Next slide. So last slide, the next steps are basically the chapter revisions. Utilizing the comments that we received is accounting for those and working with staff, with the technical team to revise the chapters. As I mentioned earlier, the chapter 2 will include the future water budget, which is a key piece. Chapter 5, the implementation plan, we'll have that again here in a few weeks. Fee study, I know that's not a popular topic, but we had as part of our Prop 68 grant, we had funds in there to use a consultant to conduct a fee study. Basically, look at how the GSA can implement various ways to collect fees from the users. Should we get down that road, I will emphasize we will be working hard to find grants and other funding mechanisms to pay for the day-to-day, year-to-year management of these plans, including working with other entities that maybe have a piece in the pie, whether it's an RCD or water trust or something like that. So, and as a note, we plan on the next board meeting, as I said, June 1st, having a summary presented to you on the fee study. So I'll keep you posted on that. And then economics analysis, the Larry Walker team has utilized some UC Davis staff to do some economic analysis on how some of the projects' actions may look from an economic standpoint, which will be an important piece for folks to weigh what's in the plans themselves. That will hopefully have in a month or so. With that is all I have. Questions?
So on the fee study, mm-hmm. when we made the presentations to the public, we made them very much aware that that's a possibility future, that this, you know, if the state took this on, it was going to be far more cost prohibitive than if the county did, but the county couldn't withstand taking this on individually.
cost-wise. So I know I appreciate the work that you have all been doing on the grants, but I just want to make it clear that, you know, this would not be a surprise if that came down the path. So thank you for this presentation.
Sure.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I was just going to mention what Supervisor Kopseff brought up. For the state, it would have been, when there were fees, it would be, there would be fees, absolutely guaranteed. And so the county's done everything it can to defray those costs for those impacted by these new rules. Also wanted to compliment, I know you guys did an incredible job, this little thing called COVID that came about, and we had to do public outreach. So I didn't speak at any of those meetings, I just logged in to listen in on it. Both the Shasta and Butte Valley meetings, I just listened in. But very well handled. Public had plenty of chance to comment. No one was rushed off. It wasn't a 3-second comment hanging up. It was, everybody had a chance to comment, do their viewpoints. So my compliments to the team for being able to have COVID and still get this public perception during that time.
Yeah, thanks, appreciate that.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yeah, do we have a back of the envelope cost estimate for what the fees would be or what it would cost to make?
We do. I might not have that in front. I think I have it in front of me, but it's kind of purely estimate. I want to refine it a little more. We're trying to be, I don't want to say as cheap as we can, but we're trying
to. Well, you know, I think it's only fair, transparency-wise, for people to start mulling what that's going to look like. You know, I just think that, you know, there is going to be a cost. We have to be upfront about that.
Yeah. I stand corrected. I had a different question.
Okay, well, maybe we can get that out.
Yeah, it's, yeah, if we don't have it by the board meeting, I take that back. We may have it by next week at the committee meetings.
Okay.
Yeah. And we'll have something for you guys at the next meeting as well.
I'd appreciate an email follow-up of, you know, what that would look like.
Yeah.
I guess I have a couple of questions. Matt, when are we going to see some kind of action item that the board will need to take, or the directors will need to take?
I would say the July meeting is when we would ask for some sort of direction or action. We, you know, early on we had thought that we could bring the drafts in, you know, phases, maybe bring in 2 or 3 at a time, ask for your action, and then set aside. The way the work has been done, we couldn't have done that. The team is constantly working on changes and updates and the technical work that goes into these, and so that wasn't gonna work. And so July is when we expect to bring the draft for you to ask for your stamp of approval. The next meeting, we anticipate bringing more technical information for you guys to kind of chew on and understand the nuts and bolts of the plan. I mean, I don't expect you guys to read 3 different groundwater plans. So that's a big ask. So I would assume you would rely on our recommendation and what the technical.
I'm having a hard enough time getting through Scott Valley.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot, yeah.
So I guess prior to any action item, and fairly soon, I guess what I'd like to see is a review from our legal team on what's been submitted. I know the technical stuff has been written, and I'll be openly blatant and honest here. PhDs in hydrology and et cetera, are great at writing research papers, but they're not very good at writing legal documents. And I'd like somebody to take a look at that from a legal perspective before we take any kind of action.
Yeah, we can definitely do that.
If I could just interject, because and you make a good point, but maybe even a step further.
Yeah.
For the working stiff that doesn't ever have a college degree and college educated, you know?
It's stretching me.
No, I think there should be that. You know, I mean, I think, again, trying to be transparent, because what's the complaint I get? It's way over my head, and I don't understand it. Yeah.
Right. A lot of it's over my head.
I call it the first version, quite honestly.
Yeah. And to clarify, meaning a legal sort of like, I guess maybe expand on what you mean, what you want in terms of a legal summary.
Well, a technical expert in a specific scientific area will openly use certain terms.
Right.
And those, some of those terms cross into a legally defined term without them knowing it.
Right.
So there might be better ways to say things rather than fall into some of those traps.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I'm looking at. And honestly, you know, I don't know the threshold of technical stuff that has to be in there, but I can tell you, with over a year of hydrology, a lot of what they're doing is well above something I could even pull from memory without having to do some research.
Well, a lot of this is high level above college course, and I never went to college, right? So, you know, it's a struggle for me to stay to keep up with all that's going on.
And it's a lot of it's cutting edge PhD work, you know, that's occurring, you know. But we need to somehow be able to write that in a way that is legally sufficient, but also informs the general public.
Yeah, I think it's like a new car, right? You don't know how to need to know all the nuts and bolts, how it's put together, but you need to know that when you turn it on, it runs.
Well, that's, you know, that's where we struggled with putting a summer together for you guys, is, you know, with more working with Laura and Katie and the other team, is how much is too much to give you guys, where you just, all right, I'm out, you know, my brain's overwhelmed, and we know it's a lot, so we have to try to figure out what's the right level of information to feed you so you can
We need to do what is scientifically supportable,
right?
From a legal perspective, because I'm pretty sure we'll get challenged. But I don't need to know the statistical work within each model.
Exactly.
You know, to be able to make that kind of decision.
That's what we're trying to find, that balance. I mean, the science behind it informs the plan. How far the weeds of the science is important. That's
right. Yeah, the science doesn't need to be the plan. Thank you.
Yep.
Is there a
supervisor? No, I'm good.
Yeah, there is one hand up I see online, and I don't.
Andrew, you 100%.
Number 1-866.
Caller online. Good morning.
Hello, this is Eric. Can you guys hear me?
Can you state your name again, please?
Zurg, Z-U-R-G, Zurg. I have a question for the spokesperson for the survey. So you just referenced that there isn't any significant overdraft of groundwater if we just keep the status quo going. Is that what your survey suggested? You guys kind of broke up, so I want you to reiterate yourself on that part.
So if I can answer that, what I was referring to in Butte Valley, specifically the Butte Valley Basin, the technical team feels there is no significant overdraft occurring in only Butte Valley.
No significant overdraft of the groundwater, okay. So that would directly scientifically impact this ordinance that they had to ban water, is that right? What do you think about that?
Should be going through the chair.
Yeah. We're not going to get in a debate today on a subject that's not agendized. Thank you for your comment, though.
Thank you. We'll look at that survey since it's open to the public, and we'll locate that and we'll research it. Thank you.
All right. Any comment with those in the audience here in house? Come forward, Theo.
This is drafts 2, 3, and 4, chapters 2, 3, and 4. I read them. Yes, Theodora Johnson is my name, and I'm a Scott Valley native and rancher. And I guess I want to take some issue with the idea that there's been a good public outreach, because I know it's hard with COVID and everything, but I don't think there's been a very good outreach. And I think it's going to possibly cause some problems when people, this comes down on them, and they're going to have this impression that it's a top-down approach and a plan that's been written by well-paid PhDs, some of them as far away as Germany. Guys, that's, I understand why we need them, but I think we need to make people understand why we need them. And I helped organize a farmer and rancher meeting in Scott Valley. I think it was March or April. And a lot of, most of them, it was the first they've heard of it. And then I helped put a flyer together to educate some of the public around Scott Valley, what was going on. And it was news to about everybody who got the flyer. And the nature of the point that I and Lauren Sweezy, we put it together. And the nature of our comments is that Sigma doesn't require us to go after the demand side of the picture. It allows us to go over the, after the supply side. And there's a lot of opportunities to do reservoirs, groundwater recharge, slow the river down. And I feel that the plan that's being put together right now in draft puts a lot, relegates some of those projects to tier three, which is pretty far down the road and doesn't flesh out very much ideas on what can be done there. And I wish we would focus on that, because focusing on the demand side really means focusing on putting agriculture out of production in Scott Valley. And to me, that, I doubt that that's the position of the county, that the county wants to take. There's a few technical points in the plan. When you read through it, you realize, gosh, I don't know if we're all on the same page here. For example, Appendix 4A, I believe, says that if we quit pumping, we would get natural vegetation in its place. It's on all of the graphs and charts. And I'm sorry, you're not going to get natural vegetation. You're going to get star thistle and other plants that like drought, that are invasive. So I don't want us to go down the road and paint a rosy picture of what's going to happen when we cut pumps off or repurpose ground through voluntary easements when people voluntarily, you know, take their land out of production, which I don't call it voluntary when it, you're doing it under duress with the threat of losing your groundwater. I also think there hasn't been consensus on a lot of the PMAs, the project management actions. When I hear the calls, I've been logging in for a couple months, and where I hear consensus is around the supply side. There's everybody on the advisory committee, I'm hearing positive things about supply side, but I don't hear consensus on the demand side, you know, cutting pumps and repurposing ground. And I think, well, why wouldn't we go after the where we have consensus? Because chapter two talks a lot about how we're, this is a consensus-driven process, and I think we should just make that true. I guess I would request, since maybe you're not going to read the whole plan, that you read my comments, and it's got 45 signatures from farmers and ranchers, mostly.
I'll read my plan.
I will be reading your plan.
Okay, thank you. I think that's really important. It's going to be on us for life. It's not going to be on the writers of the plan for life. It's going to be on us. And it's a very important thing. I think we don't want to give it short shrift. And I hope you read my comments, because I think they're readable even if you haven't read the plan yet or the draft chapters. And I don't know what we can do about a little better public outreach, but I'd like to see it happen. There was an idea a few years ago that I might do some writing for the county. I don't want a job. I don't need the job, but... that we talked about me writing about Sigma, and then it just, you know, Klamath Dams happened instead, and you know, and then AB5 happened, and I don't think I can even write for the county anymore. But something might be in order to, so that we don't end up crashing into the people who this is going to apply to with this plan that they don't even have an idea is being developed. Now they do, but I might have to take a little bit of credit for some of that. So. To toot my own horn.
Okay. Thank you, Theo. Okay. For the rest of the board that doesn't know, Theo's been spending endless hours collaborating behind the scenes with a bunch of ranchers that to bring their awareness up in what's actually happening, because a lot of people aren't involved with the committee. It's kind of, thank you.
We do have more public comment online.
Public comment, caller, put your hand up so we can recognize you. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm Ginger Sonito out in Big Spring. The Sigma plan is going very well. However, myself, and I'm sure other people feel the same, that the number of wells, domestic wells, and the number of community wells, you know, Gazelle, Grenada, Montague, are not being considered within this plan. And I really, truly think that if you don't look at them as out of outflow, that you're not going to look at the worst case scenarios. I've looked at the data of the well drilling report, and there is 8 wells over 100 gallons per minute. In particular, there's one that's 400 gallons per minute as defined as domestic wells. And if you look at all the wells over 50 gallons a minute, that's still considered domestic wells. It's not going to show you the worst case scenario unless you include them. And also what I'm not seeing in the plan is the populace, the overlaying population that resides on a lot of these lands now. They don't have, granted, they don't have water, but they have the potential to drill water, and they're living there. So if you don't include the population and their potential to drill wells and the domestic wells that exist out there, you're going to be behind the curve and have to work with a plan in retrospect. So those two items seriously need to be included in this plan. That's all I got to say. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you. I am confident that we are following the legal mandate to analyze what is inclusive in Sigma. And I'm looking forward to seeing the complete plan to make sure there are no gaps. With that, I see no more comment. And I will adjourn the flood control and water.
Before you adjourn, I just want to go back and make a quick comment.
Okay.
Sorry. All right. Where you were headed. From my perspective, the county taking on Sigma altogether, one was to protect our residents from the state taking it over, as was noted in what we've been presented by from the public. A grassroots plan, I'll call it, is what hopefully will prove out that these basins are sustainable and keep the regulatory arm of the state off of our backs. That's the goal. And I think that's where at least I've come from the very beginning, is this is a protective measure, more so than, even though it's regulatory, but it's homegrown. And it has to address Siskiyou County. It can't reflect one size fits all for the entire state. So I'm just going to make that statement. That's been my goal from the very beginning. I think it's doable. Not that it's going to be easy, and I get that, but I think we can get there. Thank you.
Okay. Any more?
Oh, just piggyback on that. It was down to an either or.
Yeah.
Either we do it or the state's going to do it.
Yeah.
And so you can beat the county up all you want because we took on the task, and you know.
No,
I'm not you specifically, but at times it comes across, and not just this specifically.
Yeah. But you know, the alternative is horrendously more expensive.
Oh,
it's prohibitive. Nobody could.
Right.
We have those. I believe we have an estimate of those numbers, which we could send out again.
Okay. Any more?
Thanks, Mr. Allen, for all the work on that. I was skimming through it.
All right, with that, I will adjourn the Flood and Water Conservation District, convened as Siskiyou Power Authority. This is time for public comment for the Siskiyou Power Authority. Please raise your hand by pressing *9 if you have a Power Authority comment.
Seeing none.
None. Consent agenda discussion or a motion?
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion and second.
Okay. Supervisor or Director Chris?
Aye.
Director Cobbseth?
Aye.
Director Valenzuela?
Sure.
Director Ogren?
Aye.
And Director Haupt?
Aye. Well, adjourn as the Siskiyou Power Authority, reconvene as the Siskiyou County Board of Supervisors, and approval.
And I've received no corrections.
Move to approve.
Second.
Go ahead.
Okay. Supervisor Chris.
Aye.
Supervisor Cobbsa.
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela.
Yes.
Supervisor Ogren.
Aye.
And Supervisor Howe.
Aye.
Thank you.
All right, next item is a public hearing. Follow the public hearing protocol that is on the agenda. And I will proceed to a staff report, if any.
I believe we have Rachel Jarab on the line for that.
Good morning, Rachel.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Awesome. All right, this is the burger zone change. It's a proposed minor rezone of a 39.4-acre parcel from non-prime agricultural, 40-acre minimum, to non-prime agricultural, which has a 10-acre minimum parcel size. The rezone is necessary in order to facilitate a tentative parcel map project to split the existing parcel into two parcels of 22.4 and 17 acres. The project site is located within the City of Weed's sphere of influence, approximately 1 mile west of the city limits, and is bisected by Old Edgewood Reed Road, which the applicant is proposing as a dividing line between the two parcels. Both proposed parcels of the property are developed with a mobile home, garage, and accessory structures north of Old Edgewood Reed Road, and a building pad for permitted but unconstructed dwelling, well, approved septic area, and driveway south of it. This project was originally heard by the Planning Commission during their November 2020 meeting and was continued to allow staff to research and respond to questions regarding CEQA baseline, civil litigation on the property, and project density. In addition to obtaining comments from the California Regional Water Quality Control Board and the Department of Fish and Wildlife, staff brought this project back to the Planning Commission for their April 2021 meeting, where the tentative parcel map was conditionally approved and the minor zone change project was recommended for approval. Staff is proposing that this project be found consistent with the zoning and general plan for the site and recommends the findings that this project is exempt from CEQA pursuant to section 15061B3 because there's not substantial evidence that the proposed minor rezone of an already developed parcel may have a significant effect on the environment. During the first Planning Commission meeting, public comments were received by the next-door neighbors, Mr. and Mrs. Butcher, in opposition to this project and regarding the concerns that they had about this project, including the civil litigation that they have ongoing with the project applicant. During the second Planning Commission meeting, Mr. Butcher again spoke in opposition to the project. No new comments have been received by the Planning Department regarding this project since the Planning Commission meeting in last month's meeting. Environmental Health, Public Works, and the Treasurer, Tax Collector, and the Department of California Fish and Wildlife comments and recommendations for this project were incorporated into the conditions of approval, and staff recommends approving the minor zone change and determining the project exempt from CEQA, and there's a recommended motion in the packet.
Okay. Thank you. Do we have any reports or arguments by other county departments or public agencies? Not online, not at the clerk's level, I suppose.
Not reports, but when you get to correspondence, I have a comment.
Proponents' arguments. Or anyone online, press star 9 if you're a proponent of this project, if you wish to speak.
Seeing none.
Opponents, anyone opposed who would like to speak?
Seeing none.
Take general comments, public comments at this time by pressing star 9.
Seeing none.
Okay, none of the above, no rebuttals. I'm going to close the hearing.
No, it's going to continue to a second, but
continue
I didn't hear correspondence.
Yeah.
Question.
No, it's not on here.
Four.
The clerk's office has received no correspondence, but just wanted to note that we did have one of our notification letters that went out to a Jeremy Ward, which is one of the neighboring properties, came back as undeliverable. So they did not get their letter.
All right, discussion by the board. Any discussion?
Motion to approve.
Second. I have a motion and a second.
So give me just a sec here. I do have timing on this. We can do the second reading on June 1st if you prefer.
Sure, why not?
Okay. And, well, it's not budget. That's a good thing.
Yes.
Okay. And we're going to continue then the public hearing. We did not close it, correct?
Correct.
Thank you. Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsa?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Okay.
Supervisor Okren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Haupt?
Aye.
Thank you.
I think we will forego the board staff reports unless there's anything urgent and going to close session.
Well, just real quick, I had a call with the CSAP officers and the analysts, whatever, going over the governor's budget. There's going to be a lot of money out there available. One of the things that was potential is half the cost of the election, the recall election. So, you know, still has to go through the Assembly, Senate, so you may want to call, push for funding. I meant to call Ms. Bynum about that. There is broadband money, broadband dollars, fire resiliency, those kind of things. So I would say, you know, when you get the chance to delve into it and see where we could, you know, have the potential to access some dollars for our county. Thank you.
I'm pretty sure we're working on the fire funding request that just came through.
And then real quick, I got a text from Catherine Freeman, who I've regularly contact with. There's funding for stock taken by wolves in the budget.
Really? Yeah. That's new.
I'm trying to stay on top of it for you guys. And an offer by the administration to come up to talk about drought and funding specific to the climate.
Okay.
Just a quick question. Do you know if Siskiyou's been included in the drought declaration yet?
It has been.
It has?
What was?
Yeah, I thought it
pretty
was.
Quick.
There was an email that went out.
Recent?
Mm-hmm.
Last week, I believe.
Okay. Okay. That will go into closed.